Hello, everybody. I'm here at the Baltimore Stallions 1995 Grey Cup reunion. I'm here with the former mayor of Baltimore, Kurt Smoke. Kurt, talk about when this team was getting together in 1994. How did that all process come together?
It was actually pretty exciting. I have to admit, when Jim Spiros first came to my office, I was a little skeptical. I wasn't quite sure that the football fans here were going to embrace the Canadian-style game. But he convinced me that they would, that it was fast, that it was exciting. And I remember the first night when they brought the team back. They were then the CFL Colts that first game. But the stadium was packed. People were excited. I knew that we had a winner there. So when he changed it to the Stallions, people continued to embrace it. And I thought it was the greatest thing for the city. As you know, we were kind of a football star community for so long.
One question I got to ask, could this city have two football teams? Because I know in New York, there's the Jets and Giants. Down in, you know, in California, you have this Giant, you know. Could it have two?
Absolutely. I really argued for and tried to promote having two teams. It's just that the NFL did not want two different leagues in town.
Because one league plays like from July until November, and the other one plays from September.
You're being rational now.
Hey, it was good to have summertime football. Yeah, you're not freezing to death.
Yeah, I actually proposed all that. I said it was going to be different times. One could feed off the other, stimulate interest. But the NFL really did not want to have two different leagues in the same city.
Was it like having TSN doing this for the folks up there in Canada, bringing back the Stallions up there, knowing that we're the only team in CFL history from somewhere south of the border to get their Grey Cup?
Well, I have to tell you, it was great that Baltimore Stallions were able to win the Grey Cup. I thought that was going to help stabilize the expansion of the CFL in the United States. And then when they awarded us
the Grey Cup,
I just said, man, we are on a roll. This is going to be tremendous. And, of course, right after that announcement, we had the announcement that the Browns were coming to Baltimore, and that kind of took the wind out of our sails.
So what are you doing now? You work in the University of Baltimore as their president, so how's it like being back in college?
it's great being in the back in town, working in town. The only difference at the University of Baltimore, we don't have intercollegiate sports. So, you know, some people say, do you miss not having a football team? I just say our team is undefeated.
Well, it was a pleasure meeting you.
All right,
and
great.
Good luck the rest of this evening.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Real good.
Hello, everybody. I'm here with Sean Benares, who used to play for the Stallions, went off to the NFL, played his college ball at Nevada.
Yes, sir.
So just talk about your transition from playing, because you were born and raised in Iran, and you guys, your family, you know, migrated to West Germany and came over here to play. And how did you get involved in football?
It was just pure luck. I had a coach that saw me one day, high school football coach, and he asked me if I played football, and I didn't even know what football was. And he kind of gave me a song and dance about that, you know, with a body like mine, I should play football. And, you know, of course, at the time, he had no clue that I was going to make in the NFL, but he said, you know, son, somebody like you should, you know, you have what it takes. And, you know, just keep me a line, and I bought it.
Yeah.
And but lo and behold, he was right. So,
what's it like playing in this town? Because I know this town was hungry for football. The Colts left town in the middle of the night in '84, and this town was struggling to get their identity because they just had baseball. And what was it like you guys coming in '94 and '95 to fill that void?
The fan support was phenomenal. We had 30,000-40,000 people come to the games, and you know, we did phenomenal. And honestly, a lot of our success, obviously we had great coaches, we had great players, but the fan support had something to do with it, because you know, there were other American teams that had the same amount of talent as we did, and they had nowhere near the success that we did. So this was definitely something special. This was, everything had to go right. We had the perfect owner with the perfect players in the perfect town. So it was a great recipe.
And a perfect coach in Don Matthews.
Oh, absolutely.
Sadly, he's not here because of what happened. What did Don Matthews teach you as a player to get yourself, when you got yourself back to the NFL because you played with the Redskins?
He, you know, I wish I had a coach like him in the NFL. You know, He was phenomenal. He believed in us being loose. He believed in us having fun. Mm-hmm. His motto was, you know, live on the edge and let go and play and have fun, and that really enabled us to do our best. It was a different way of coaching. I remember him saying, "Gentlemen, I'm going to treat you like adults until you prove me wrong. This is your team." So he left a lot of stuff to us. He left a lot of decisions to be made up to the players, and he was true to his word when he said, "This is your team." And I really respected him. And honestly, without Coach Matthews leading the way, there's no way that we would have had the success that we did.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at, you know, recapping the Stallions. We could have won two Grey Cups if that idiot in British Columbia did not get that extra time to hit that field goal.
Listen.
I don't want to call him an idiot. He was a good guy.
Lou Pasaglia. Yeah. No, it's we were winning by 1 point. We were winning by one point, and that's a travesty, because people don't remember that you know, because of some kind of a idiocy, we ended up not getting that last point.
How you doing,
gentlemen.
What's up, Look, everybody's coming back to see you.
That's, you know, so we were definitely I think we were champions for 2 years.
Well, talk about that field goal that Donald and BK kicked in the cold in Winnipeg. With the wind blowing, ice cold. It was like minus whatever up there, and he just got up and he just kicked it. What was it like having him? I know he's not here.
That was great, but you know, the one that I really remember is Carlos Huerta kicking in the freezing cold in the Grey Cup and the games before. So that was more. That was something more. So.
Yeah. So what are you doing today to keep yourself busy?
I'm in business development. I'm an entrepreneur, so I, you know. When businesses need help with strategy, with marketing, with different things, I'm known as a business startup expert. So that's, you know, I step in and I do my thing.
Yeah, and plus you're also a Hall of Famer out there in Nevada.
Yes, sir.
What's that feeling like, real quick, before I let you go?
I was number 205. I was inducted number 205. So it was a phenomenal feeling. So something that I'm extremely proud of.
Well, it was a privilege meeting you, because when I was a kid, sat on the 55-yard line with my parents and watched it.
Nice, so, very good.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm here with Mike Pringle, the former running back for the Stallions. Watching you when I was a kid in 94, 95, you were a very good running back. So just talk about your 2 years here in Baltimore. What did that mean for you?
I mean, it was a great time, you know, to be here in this town, in this city, which is a great not only football town, but a great sports town. And we played in front of some really good crowds, and we had a great team to put on display for the town.
Talk about your 2,000 yards in 94. What was it like?
Well, I was actually, you know, I was 20 yards short or 21 yards shy of 2,000 yards. I was kind of mad. Tracy is like my big brother, but you know, so I can joke with him and say I'm pissed at him to this very day, because we were playing in Sacramento. It was a monsoon. I mean, and we should have just been running the ball, and we threw the ball like we were playing in a dome.
Yeah.
So anyway, I came up 20 yards or 21 yards shy of 2,000. Not a bad year, but you know, fortunately enough, later on in my career, I was able to eclipse the 2,000 yard and join that elite group.
What was it like winning the Grey Cup up in Saskatchewan for the city of Baltimore?
Oh, that was lovely. I mean, we had such a good time, because the year before when we lost in B.C., after the game, I mean, there was parties and everything, and everybody was celebrating. When we won in Sacramento, the city shut down. It was desolate. I mean, nobody was out except us, and we were partying. We had a great time, and, you know, it was a good game. We beat a quality team, and Doug Flutie's team, but, you know, we were just dominant that year. We were dominant the year before, but, you know, we were just dominant, and if we had stayed here, you know, some good things would have transpired.
Talk about playing in the CFL, because a lot of people don't realize the CFL had good players. Like Doug Flutie was up in Calgary, and then you had, you know, people all over the place, like pinball in Toronto.
I mean, there's we have tons of players that, you know, either came from the NFL or weren't playing in the NFL for whatever reason. I mean, Joe Horn was on our roster and couldn't break the roster.
Right.
And goes on and has a stellar career in the NFL. You know, I have guys like Shar Pradhanesh,
yeah.
You know, that has a really good, you know, few years in the NFL. We have, you know, there's tons of stories. Garcia, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, the NFL, they can only sign up so many people. I mean, they don't sign up all the talent in the world. They sign up everybody to make the roster.
Yeah.
And then after that, there's no more room. So,
go somewhere. What is Mike Pringle doing today?
Mike Pringle is enjoying the retirement. I own a couple of businesses. I have a couple of franchises, sports nutrition stores, Max Muscle Sports Nutrition Stores in Atlanta, Georgia. I own a couple of franchises, juice bars.
Okay.
So I'm doing some, you know, business end of it, but, you know, enjoying the time. Have two kids and my little girl. She's actually at the Junior Olympics right now in Florida. So,
cool.
Yeah,
nice.
She's doing well.
Well, it was a privilege talking to you.
Thank you very
much. Good luck this evening.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Here's Josh Miller. Here are the 1995 State Grey Cup champions, the Stallions. So, talk about your time here in Baltimore. You know, you're from New York, and you went out to Arizona for college. So, how did you get yourself to come back here to Baltimore?
Oh, it's a crazy story, really. I had a special teams coach named John Ellerson,
okay. And
he got called to be an assistant on some expansion team that Baltimore was getting, a Canadian league. And I went to Green Bay Packers. I was there for 20 minutes, and then they thought I stunk. And my coach came here and as an assistant, said, "Hey, listen, I have a punter doing nothing. Do you want to take a peek at him?" And Jim Bob and Don Matthews both said, "Sure." And that was it. I came here, and it was the most fun I ever had playing football.
Yeah, and then you went on to, people don't realize, you went on to the Steelers.
Yep.
And you went to the Patriots, and then you were with the Tennessee for maybe, a couple months, and then,
yeah.
And then you retired.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been very lucky, very fortunate. Like I said, I can name about 25 guys that I played with here. I can't name 25 guys I played with in the NFL. It's unbelievable. And I came here, I got I found my wife in Baltimore as well. So this has been a wonderful, wonderful time in my life.
I know as a kid, before I became in the media, you were very superstitious that you didn't want to sign any autographs before the game. So you still have that superstition, or did you do that in the NFL?
I've lightened up a little bit,
yeah.
But not a lot. I mean, I'm still the same way. After
yeah.
the game, I'll give you anything you want. But before, I just thought it jinxed it. I was thinking,
right.
If you give an autograph, you better be good. I never thought I was.
Yeah. So just talk about coming back here. Seeing all, you know, like you said, you've seen all the old players and, you know, all these people that came out on a Sunday night. So what was your feeling like?
My wife, we said we had to come back. I mean, I literally have to be in Latrobe, Pennsylvania tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning. I have a radio show in Pittsburgh,
yeah.
So I have to be there. But I thought, how could I miss this? Yes, I can't. So we drove back. We're going to stay for a couple hours. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Well, you were growing up in New York. Were you a Met fan or were you a Yankee fan? What was your allegiance to baseball?
Well, I mean, truth be told, I was in New York for like 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then I went to New Jersey. But
okay.
Still, being
yeah, yeah.
All that being said, it's the same. I jumped back and forth. I was never really a Jet or a Giants fan. I was a fan of Gastineau and the boys and Klecko.
Right.
And then I was a Giant fan with Bavaro. I was a Met fan with Gooden and the boys, and then Reggie Jackson
right.
and the candy bar. So, I mean, I flip-flopped.
Yeah. So talk about your radio gig with the Steelers. What they got to do this year to get better from, you know, last year. They got better, but it seems like they still had some holes that they have to fix.
Yeah, they got to score 147 points a game. And luckily, they have an offense that can maybe do that. I'm good, thank you.
I'm good.
And the offense might be able to pull it off, actually. So it's going to be up to the defense. A lot of guys retired. A lot of guys moved on with Troy and Kiesel. Dick LeBeau moving on. And so now it's a whole different game. They drafted young kids. It's going to look faster, but I love when guys make mistakes at 150 miles per hour.
Last question. When you came back here as a Steeler punter to Baltimore to play the Ravens, were you booed or were you cheered a lot because people don't realize you were with the Stallions?
When you're a punter in general, you're booed.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, no matter what anything is. So I was always booed.
You're always booed.
Always. Just always. A couple guys did their homework. Oh, hey, we love
hey,
you,
we
Stallions,
love.
But I'm booing you now. So it's all in fun. And I had a blast.
Well, have a good time tonight and safe trip back to Steeler camp, okay?
Thanks, Chris.
All right, man. Thank you.
That was an epic.
down here is the owner, Jim Spiros here. Jim, talk about tonight. What's it like getting everybody back together on this field?
Well, it's kind of like a dream come true. I mean, for me to be able to bring this group back together, to have fun, and to celebrate and talk about what we did 20 years ago, I mean, this was, in my opinion, truly the best team ever assembled in the Canadian Football League. And I mean, if you look at the record books and stats, 14 guys went on to make the NFL. The guys who did stay became All-Stars and Hall of Famers. We won 18 games. You know, we run 13 straight. And we won the Grey Cup when there was 13 teams in the league.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like this is a special group, and they deserve this chance. But they never got the proper exit in Baltimore. We had to go to Montreal, and this party tonight was for you, for this team and these guys here. So,
what was it like knowing that 94, 95, and then 96, we got the Grey Cup coming, and also the NFL team said, get out of town?
It was hard to deal with, you know, and I just, you know, all I could do was look forward. I had to move the team to Montreal. I had to put another team back together that was without football. It was like deja vu starting for me all over again. But, you know, I never had a business plan that was going to enable me to have to do this two times over. It just doesn't happen that way. So it was a lot of pressure. But you know what? I reflected on what we accomplished, and truly, this was a dynasty that we put together in a short period of time.
Talk about the first time that you thought in your head that we could have a CFL team here in Baltimore. What was the process?
If you go back, you know, some 25 years ago, when Baltimore started the expansion, I guess it was the lottery for them to hopefully get a team.
Right.
Everybody thought they'd choose one new team, you know, one new city, and one old market.
Right.
So everybody said, well, when Charlotte got elected, they thought, well, it's either St. Louis or Baltimore is going to get a team. And then when Jacksonville got the team, it shocked everybody and really upset Baltimore in such a way that they were vibrant and ready for football. So I was in the right place at the right time, and I'm glad I had the ability to give Baltimore something to cheer about. And I put a quality product on the field. They excelled on the field. The only thing I wish I could have done, I wish I didn't, I feel like I fought the NFL for 2 years. The name, coming in and out.
Talk about that briefly. People don't understand about that copyright situation. What happened?
It was a jurisdiction situation. I mean, we felt that the name Colts belonged in Baltimore.
Right.
And there was no confusion factor if somebody in Indianapolis was actually going to turn their TV on in the summertime and have a situation where confused that, well, that's our Colts and not the Baltimore.
Right.
So the problem was, the NFL had so much money, and we fought for 6 months. We spent $1 million in legal fees.
Oh, wow.
We got pro bono by Venable for $500,000. It just didn't make any sense to keep fighting because they would have just fought me for 3 or 4 years out. So we decided to go with the Stallion name, and we never went back. But I don't regret for one moment that we named the team the Colts from the beginning. It gave us a lot of publicity.
I do have to ask you, where is that pumpkin that my family sent you?
You know what? It's somewhere in the archive.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And my dad said thank you very much.
No problem. Good seeing
you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice. Brand new.
I'm here with Tracy Ham, the quarterback of the Stallions in 1995, who was very good in 94 and 95. So talk about your playing days in the CFL. You came from Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
So what was it like playing from college to come here?
Well, I had been in the CFL for 9 years, and so I had an opportunity to understand the game, understand the dynamics of this business, and then to be able to now take that and help teach a new organization, new players, not necessarily the organization, but the team, just try to talk to them about the CFL game and being able to do that. And for us to be able to accomplish that, it was a pretty amazing feat, not just because of me, but the entire organization from the top all the way down to the bottom. And to see guys here like the Brad, the equipment guy, to our training staff, and to our administrative Bonnie, that group, it's pretty amazing.
Well, let's clarify something, because I talked to Mike Pringle earlier. You cost him 2,000 yards. In the rain in Sacramento. Can you clear something up for the listeners here at Herb FM Radio? What really happened?
Well, he didn't get 2,000 yards.
Yeah. That's
either you get it or you don't, right? So, they ain't very hard.
Right.
But when he didn't get it, it was just one of them things. It was actually, I remember the ball game because it was a close ball game.
Right. It was in the rain.
It was in the rain, and we trying to win the ball game. I wasn't really concerned about we weren't really concerned about yards.
Right, right.
Like Mike was. But I expect Mike to be just like receivers, just like everybody. Want the ball, give me the ball. I got to have the ball.
Right.
I have no problem with that. That's the business. And we just got to know how my job is to distribute the ball.
Right.
So if you can do that, and you only get one guy to say that,
right.
I think it's pretty good.
That's right. Talk about when this team sadly had to move up to Montreal. What's it like playing in Montreal?
Well, hey, the people of Montreal, the fans of Montreal, kind of felt like the fans of Baltimore when the CFL team left Montreal 10 years earlier.
Right.
Matter of fact, it was my first year in the league when Montreal folded. And then for this team to move there, I think it was just justifiable. It was one of those things where, you know, they're getting something right that was wrong, and for Baltimore getting their team back, was the NFL writing that wrong?
Right.
So I think it worked in order. It was tough because we really like playing here. We really like the fan base here, and we felt that this was had a championship atmosphere. And for us, that was really neat to have that in the States,
right,
being American. So for us, it was great.
Yeah. Talking about, because I was just talking to one of my buddies, it's like, this team actually helped Baltimore get an NFL team, because before that, nobody wanted to come here. Everybody was like, yeah, you know, like you had exhibition games with the Saints and the Dolphins, whatever, but nobody wanted to come here.
Well, everybody liked to test the water before they actually drank it.
Right.
If you can get a tester, and we basically was a tester for them,
like, hey,
they saw the support, and Baltimore should have an NFL team, no question about
right.
it. Our time here was great. We have no complaints about the NFL coming here. I think the Ravens have shown it's a unique city because they won the CFL,
NFL,
won the NFL,
and the USFL.
So yeah. It's championship pedigree all over.
Right.
And so we just wanted to hold up our end of the bargain.
Well, let's go get our food on. So
nice
thanks.
Meet you.
Nice meeting you, man.
Yes,
thank you.
Why did I end up here?